podcast wisdom seekers. Ben Intendi, Ben Revere, Garrett Richards, Risk Severe. I check my league 10 times a day. What else do I have to say?
I've got what I consider to be kind of a weird show today. I could not find a central theme, so we just got a lot of stuff. We're going to talk about Christian Yelich. He's been awesome. We're going to talk about Randall Grichuk. He's been interesting. We got the Worryometer. We got Scott White. We got Chris Towers. I'm Adam Azer. Let's do it. What's up, guys? Chris.
Help.
Oh, Scott. Scott, you go first. I know you wanted to say hi.
See, I got interrupted in the middle of hello, so it sounded like I just cursed out of nowhere. That's how I begin the show.
Yeah, see, weird show. I told you. Weird show.
Yeah,
Chris.
Definitely.
Hell to you, Chris.
Hey. I was going to just say a bad word. And force you to have to bleep it out.
Thank you. Thank you for not doing that.
But I decided not to do that.
All right. Well, I'm gonna start off the show with something that you probably weren't expecting. And something you're definitely not going to agree with. Your 2019 bust, parentheses, that I reserve the right to change my mind about, close parentheses, is ... Carlos Carrasco.
Oh, Adam.
Carlos Carrasco will be a bust next year. Why will he be a bust?
Well, because you watched him in an April start and you thought his velocity was down.
I have watched him about six or seven times this year, and he doesn't really throw a four-seam fastball. He throws his two-seamer most of the time. And we already have established that he doesn't really have a good four-seam fastball. He will be a bust because here's why. You tell me where you're drafting Carlos Carrasco next year. Or where you think
you'll
rank him.
Probably on my computer.
Where do you think you'll rank him?
Well, a top 15 pitcher. I'm fairly confident saying that. So that would probably put him as early as round four, maybe. At least in a points league, maybe round five or six in Roto.
Yeah, all right, Chris, how about you? Will you think he'll be top 10? With this awesome stretch now, do you think he's going to vault himself into that acehood, ace material?
I think he'll be in the 10 to 15 range, for sure.
Yeah, bust. He has had the easiest schedule on planet Earth, and I knew it, and I said it. I said you got to buy low on Indian starting pitchers. They have an amazing schedule down the stretch. His division is total crap. In his last 10 starts, 11 appearances, he has had a good start against a good opponent one time. It was a great start. It was 6 2/3, 2 runs, 8 strikeouts at Texas. The only other time he faced a good opponent, he was lit up by the Boston Red Sox.
Adam?
Yeah?
Can I ask you four questions? Four questions.
Manish Tana, sure.
Do you think the Royals are going to be good next year?
You know, I don't know.
Yes or no?
No.
I see
yes
where these
no.
questions
yes
are going.
I've got three questions left.
No.
We need to get through them quick.
No, no,
Do you think the
maybe.
Tigers are going to be good next year?
No.
Do you think the Twins are going to be good next year?
Maybe.
Do you think the White Sox are going to be good next year?
Maybe. I think they might hit well.
I got four questions for you, Adam.
I rest my case.
I got four questions, too.
Uh-huh.
Has Carrasco been a bust this year?
No.
Was he a bust last year?
I honestly don't remember, but
was he a bust the year before?
He's going to
he
get
a bust the year
he
before.
Is,
they
listen,
answered all these questions is no.
He is going to get drafted
exactly the same pitcher.
He is going to
exactly
get drafted to he's going to get drafted higher than ever before. People are going to expect him to take the DeGrom leap. If you draft Carrasco,
this is a false narrative.
Actually,
if you're basing this on an idea that isn't going to, like, why would people
do that?
He's been the same
honestly,
Carrasco. He's
here's
done.
Why. Here's why.
If you're looking for a bust that I don't want to be held to, go with someone who's doing something they've never done before, and that's not Carlos Carrasco. He's been Carlos Carrasco.
Well, but if you look at the full season, but if you look at his last 10 starts, he's got a 2.13 ERA, a 16% swinging strike rate, 82 strikeouts, and 63 1/3. If you draft Carrasco to be Carrasco, you're going to be fine. If you draft Carrasco to be DeGrom, you're going to be disappointed.
Nobody's going to
I don't
do
know
that.
About that. I don't know about that. I
okay,
think...
no, but seriously, like, I'll throw out a couple.
All right.
Jacob DeGrom. Likely to not perform as well next year as he does this year, but we're going to draft him based on this year. He's going to be a second round pick. That's a guy who can probably be considered a bust next year. Now, it's one of those like Alvin Kamara type busts where he's still clearly going to be awesome, but not quite as awesome as his draft value. Blake Snell would be another example.
Yeah, that was the one I was going to say.
Probably more like a mid-threes ERA guy who might get drafted in the second or third round next year.
I'll take him over Carrasco.
And to be clear, I'm not suggesting Snell will be a bust. I just see the argument for it clearer than for Carrasco.
By the way, of 835 pitchers who have appeared in a game this season, Carlos Carrasco ranks 470th in opponent OPS, which is right around the middle. There is no evidence that he has had an exceptionally easy or difficult schedule.
Okay. I don't know about that stat, because if one pitcher pitches
it's objectively true.
Yeah, but if one pitcher pitches one game, I mean, I feel like the pool of pitchers is too big.
Okay, what inning threshold would you like me to go to? 50?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, but does that count relievers?
Fill some space.
Does that count relievers?
Yes.
All right, so then bump it up to like 80, so there are no relievers.
You got 35 minutes left with me, Adam.
I'm just telling you.
Just putting it out there.
Okay. Tuesday standout. Scott, who you got?
Apparently this isn't important enough.
We spent 5 minutes on it already.
6.5 minutes. Don't undersell.
I'm going to go with Tyler O'Neill.
Woo! Yeah.
Who hit his fourth home run in 5 games, and it was a moonshot. And this is exactly what he's supposed to be doing with his playing time, which is hit tons and tons of home runs. He was, if you project out his minor league stats over 160 games, it would have been a 65 homer pace. He's always been thought to have elite power. Would there be enough contact with it? That was one question, but I think if you need help in that category, he's playing every day with Ozuna on the DL. I imagine he would get preferential treatment even when Ozuna comes off the DL.
Ozuna's coming back on Saturday, by the way.
Yeah. So I would go ahead and pick him up now in the hopes that that happens.
Okay, he's 30. What did you say it was? 34% owned, Tyler O'Neill?
I didn't say.
Okay, he's 34% owned. Now, there's a big stat here. 3 walks, 37 strikeouts. Does that mean he could be a total bust?
Yeah, it does. But I am, I think the power is even clearer for him, the power potential, than somebody like Hunter Renfro. So I think it's a similar skill set, but O'Neill's a better version of that. So
he'll also run a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, probably not a points league pickup, but specifically categories leagues if you need home runs. Very interesting.
Would you rather have him or Randall Grichuk? Because, you know, Grichuk is so annoying. His last 8 games, he has like a 1400 OPS or something. The 8 games before that, he did not have one extra base hit. He batted 111 with 1 walk and 10 strikeouts. But overall, since the All-Star break, Randall Grichuk is batting 293 with 8 homers and 894 OPS. So he's streaky, but, you know, it's really that one terrible 8-game stretch where he batted 111 without an extra base hit. Would you rather have Grichuk or O'Neill?
I think Grichuk and O'Neill are the Spider-Man meme. You know
really?
The meme I'm talking about?
Yes,
it's just two Spider-Mans pointing at each other. One of the Spider-Mans might be a little faster.
Spider-Man?
But Spider-Mans.
Okay.
And for the most... they're multiple... Their name is Spider-Man.
Yeah, and
it's,
right.
It's a proper
it's not
noun.
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And Tyler O'Neill might be a little more athletic and a little faster. He might steal 2 more bases over the course of the final 30-something games. But I think they're very similar. O'Neill might be one of, 7 players in baseball with worse plate discipline than Randall Grichuk. But I think he might have even more power.
Okay. So you're going to take Spider-Man and Scott, O'Neill or Grichuk?
I'll shoot for the upside, which I believe belongs to O'Neill.
Chris, do you have the results?
Yes. So my Tuesday standout is Carlos Carrasco, who has been very good this season, while facing the 84th highest opposing OPS out of 143 pitchers who have thrown at least 80 innings. His average OPS
That's below average. 84 out of 143.
His average OPS against has been 727 for the opposing batters. That's not like batting against him. That's their season line. The average is 724 for this group. He has not had an especially easy or difficult time.
I'm just saying he has during his last 11 appearances, 10 starts.
You take the whole season.
That's fine.
He's had a Carlos Carrasco season.
Yes, this is exactly what I'm saying. He's Carlos Carrasco. He's not, he's got a 2.13 ERA and a 16% swinging strike rate in these 10 starts. I don't want people to think, and I think that they might, because I know how fantasy analysts work. Scott, you do it all the time. Look at what he did in his last 20 starts. He was this amazing. He's going to carry that over.
I wouldn't do that with Carlos Carrasco.
Yeah, I just like
kind of line into being a very normal Carlos Carrasco season.
Last four seasons, 3.63 ERA, 3.32 ERA, 3.29, 3.38. More than a strikeout per inning every time, very few walks.
Okay, that's fine.
He's been Carlos Carrasco.
That's who he is. You watch what's going to happen. People are going to draft him higher. Of course, I reserve my right to change my mind. Christian Yelich is a standout. He hit two home runs. He is the number six outfielder in points. Number four in Roto. Is there any reason why he's not a total stud next year, Christian Yelich?
I mean, the fly ball rate's still terrible, but...
Better than it. Fewer ground balls, I should say. Fly balls, but fewer ground balls.
You see the home run to fly ball rate? Like, oh my God.
Even though he was always a terrible fly ball hitter, he still had good power production on the road during his time as a Marlin. So... Yeah, I think it's playing out exactly as hoped, and he'll be top 10 outfielder, I suspect, going into next year.
He's been a little lucky. You know, maybe he should hit 23 home runs over the course of the season because he has a 30% home run to fly ball rate. Maybe he should hit 285 instead of 310. But you add it all up, and like Christian Yelich over the course of the last three seasons has been really, really good, and there's no reason to think he wouldn't be next year.
He does have a 32% home run to fly ball rate. That's crazy high. But still, I mean, top six outfielder right now.
I think there's a chance he gets overdrafted.
All right. He's safe, though. That's the nice thing I like about Yelich.
Sure.
You know, he's got a diversified portfolio of skills. Steals some bases, extra base hits, good batting average, good plate discipline. All right. Anyway. SeatGeek. The SeatGeek app is another Tuesday standout. I use the SeatGeek app all the time. I'm constantly on there looking for the best prices. You don't have to go around and compare because SeatGeek's going to get you the best prices, but I've actually done it because I like to be honest when I give these reads. I like to be honest when I give these ads, and I can tell you that I've looked at events on multiple sites, and SeatGeek really does come back with the best prices. Because they search multiple sites and they pull in results from multiple sites and they grade every ticket based on value. And SeatGeek gives you $20 off your first purchase with the promo code FANTASY. So look for an event. It's a great time of year to go to a game, right? It's baseball season, football season. NBA is not that far away because the NBA doesn't have an off season. I think hockey still exists. I know our Canadian listeners just hated me. But anyway, concerts, comedy, theater, every purchase fully guaranteed. I use SeatGeek all the time, and you should really do the same. And your first purchase, knock $20 off with the promo code FANTASY. Again, the code is FANTASY. SeatGeek, life's an event, and we have the tickets. All right, back to baseball. Here's the easiest question of the year from Ben at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Ben says, would you rather go into the finals way ahead in the rankings and lose in an unlucky matchup? Or limp into the playoffs and then win three coin flips and win the championship?
Can I answer this question with a movie quote, with a drop?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Let's see if I can get this to work.
Oh, okay.
It don't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning's winning.
Nice, dude.
Obviously.
What movie is that?
Fast and Furious. Come on.
Never seen 1 second of any Fast and Furious.
They're delightful trash. and I mean that in the most loving way possible.
Team name Tuesday on a Wednesday, delightful trash. Yeah, of course, Ben. You win the league. Who cares what you did in the regular season? You know, the Seattle Mariners did not have the greatest season in baseball history because they set the wins record. They freaking lost in the playoffs. And that was the last time they've been in the playoffs, I think.
Yes.
As a Braves fan, I do want to say, I can take some enjoyment out of good season that doesn't end in a championship.
Oh, yeah.
It's not as good as winning a championship, but
I still feel pretty good about myself.
Not in fantasy.
No, I still feel pretty good about myself.
I could see that, like, if I had, like, 15 division title banners hanging up, but, like, I would have rather been a Braves fan in the 90s than a Marlins fan, even though they won the same amount of titles.
But if the Braves had won any titles...
Well, the Marlins won more than one.
I was saying,
well, if you go into the next decade, which the Braves were still winning during. But anyway, no, I feel good. Like, if I have a season where I'm the highest scoring team, and... You know, I just happened to have bad luck in the playoffs. I mean, I'm annoyed. I'm frustrated. But I still know I had a good year. Sure. I don't feel like I need to be changing my approach or anything.
Oh, no.
I'm pissed.
I know. But you can look back and give yourself a pat on the back for having a nice year. But you don't get a ring with that pat the back.
No. It's definitely better to win.
All right. It's Worryometer Wednesday. Worryometer Wednesday. 0 to 10. How worried are you? About Charlie Morton, 0 to 10.
Maybe like a 5.
Yeah, you gotta be a little bit worried.
Yeah. It's, 3 non-quality starts in a row, and just kind of that ERA keeps creeping up. The strikeout rate keeps creeping down. It's
velocity's
not
down.
It's not to the point of like sitting him.
His velocity's gone down as the season has gone on, but it's not like... an alarm. It's 1 mile per hour from April to now. It's
That's nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, like it's happened. It's not really like a huge deal. He's changed his approach a little bit. He's gone more sinker heavy in the month of August. Maybe that explains some of it versus the four seam fastball. We know that the Astros are a team that prefers the four seam fastball, especially elevated in the zone. So maybe that explains it. I don't know.
Well, I think, what I noticed about him, let's just take the last 2 months. Charlie Morton has on Baseball Reference, 0.82 ground ball to fly ball ratio. And then if I take a look at the first 3 months up to June 26th, so it was 0.82 in the last 2 months, first 3 months, sorry, doing this on the fly, it was 1.15. So even though you say he's featuring the sinker ball, he's not getting the ground balls.
Yeah.
That I find interesting. Although the last 2 starts have been better.
Over the last 15 starts, he has like a 370 ERA. That's higher than you'd wish, but it's still usable.
5 for Charlie Morton. Kenley Jansen, who stopped taking his heart medication. He said his medication was making him kind of tired, and that contributed to his poor outings. And then, he was fine yesterday. He just gave up 2 runs on 3 hits and a walk in a non-save situation. Kenley Jansen, 0 to 10.
Is that the reason he stopped taking it?
Yeah, so the doctor told him that it was fine to not do it. It did sound a little crazy to me, but...
I'm not really worried. I'm like a 3.
All right, Kenley Jansen. Chris?
Yeah.
Chris?
I would feel more comfortable answering that question if I was a doctor. Because I don't know what the side effects of that medication are. I can't really answer that question. I hope he's fine.
All right. Jesus Aguilar on Worryometer Wednesday. Jesus Aguilar has started 10 games in a row, and he had a nice little stretch in mid-August, but overall, since the All-Star break, Aguilar is batting .222 with 5 home runs and, good plate discipline, but not great. 4 doubles. He's been crap. Worryometer on Aguilar.
4. I mean, I still think he's a good hitter. Did he have some correction coming? Yeah. And we're seeing that. But he does have 5 home runs since the All-Star break. That's certainly not a bad total. His playing time hasn't suffered with the additional, the infield additions there. So I think he's fine. I think he's must start still.
Yeah, so looking at his last 15 games or his 15-game rolling log on Fangraphs, like his fly ball rate is down. But his line drive rate is also 29% over the last 15 games. His hard rate,
awesome.
His hard hit rate is down as well. But over the last 15 games, it's still 46%.
So maybe a little bit of an unlucky stretch.
I think that probably explains it. You know, like his strikeout rate's not alarmingly up. I don't see any glaring warning signs.
Okay, that's Jesus Aguilar. And next up, we have Brian Dozier. Brian Dozier. interesting ways to look at this with Dozier. But what is your worryometer on him?
I will go like a 6, probably higher than Charlie Morton. He's at like 240 now as a Dodger after getting off to a really good start with them. You know, the BABIP is still lower than we're used to seeing, but he's not hitting for the power we're used to seeing either. And it's getting late. You know, we're waiting for that late season surge. It hasn't really come yet. So yeah. I'm a little concerned.
Okay. Yeah. Batting 213 in his last 16 games at the 649 OPS. Chris, Brian Dozier.
5.
Okay. And finally, Madison Bumgarner. Look, 7 scoreless innings yesterday, but a 123 whip, 86 strikeouts, and 102 thirds. Like, he's got a 268 ERA. I don't know that if his name were not Madison Bumgarner, that anyone would be comfortable with him. So, Chris, worryometer on Madison Bumgarner.
So we've had the Madison Bumgarner talk
right.
a few times, and
yeah, more
I guess I'm like a 6, but it's mostly because if you're asking me, like, worryometer, will he be Madison Bumgarner? Am I worried he will be that? It's a 10. I don't think he's going to be that.
Sorry.
But I've accepted this new reality where Madison Bumgarner is no longer an elite starting pitcher.
Yeah, you know, it's a shame that you actually did give a number pretty early in that, because the Jesus Aguilar thing, you talked for quite some time and never gave a number, but I didn't have the clip queued up.
You know
up.
What, Adam? Have you ever given a worryometer number? Huh?
No. I don't think so.
You sit in your tower and you
sit in your
aspersions.
Tower.
Why don't you come down here on the ground and try to do this job, huh?
Okay. Sorry. Scott Bumgarner.
Carlos Carrasco is a bust.
Will be a bust.
No, I co-signed everything Chris said. Like, I think Bumgarner is a quality pitcher, particularly in today's landscape, particularly how he still pitches deep into games. I think 5 straight 6-plus innings, and he was 8 last time. You know, that's still pretty valuable, but he's not. I don't think he's an ace anymore.
He's a less safe Zach Greinke.
I would just like to say my worryometer for next week for Madison Bumgarner is at about a 6.8. He is at Colorado and at Milwaukee. And he's already been at Colorado once, and he did fine. And we know they're not, you know, the pitchers do well in Colorado sometimes. At Colorado, at Milwaukee, a little bit nervous about that, which is, you know, which is saying something. All right, that's your Worryometer Wednesday. Injuries, news, and notes. Mike Schilt is the full-time manager for the Cardinals. Seattle manager Scott Servais cut his hair to match Edwin Diaz's hairstyle. It is pretty cool. You should check it out. Brett Anderson, in the most predictable news of all time, is on the DL with a forearm strain. Philadelphia acquired Jose Bautista in a very non-consequential deal, unless Odubel Herrera sits more or something. That would suck, but that's not going to happen. I don't know. Jed Jerko has a mild groin strain. James Paxton set to return on Sunday. Marcelo Zuna could be back this weekend. Should be back on Saturday. Junior Guerra could be pitching his way out of the Milwaukee rotation, as they have Zach Davies that they could replace Guerra with. Ross Stripling could be back this week. Do we know if he's going to be a starter or reliever? Ross Stripling.
I assume he's going to be a reliever because that's what they were heading toward when he went on the DL. But as I've been saying every time we talk about Walker Buehler, and I thought it was notable Walker Buehler pitched only 4 innings yesterday in his start, even though, you know, the result was pretty good. He can't have many innings left. He threw 98 last year, and you know, he probably is the one who needs to go to the bullpen instead of Stripling.
And a little few more news items. Nelson Cruz started in right field at San Diego, and he homered, so that was cool. Kendrys Morales sat. It wasn't even the NL Park yet, but he sat. You might get a really bad week from Kendrys Morales. And Luis Urias batted 2nd, started at 2nd base against Seattle for the Padres. And Scott, you didn't give any thoughts. You weren't on the podcast yesterday. Why don't you give us your quick thoughts on Luis Urias?
Yeah, I feel like he's the kind of prospect that fantasy owners may overlook. You know, he's been in the prospect discussion for a couple years now. I think it's only like
fourth or fifth in the Padres system, but they have a lot of really good prospects.
They have a really good system.
Yeah.
He was 32 on Baseball America coming into the season.
Yeah. So he makes a lot of contact. He hits a lot of line drives. It's yielded a high batting average throughout his minor league career, and I suspect it will in the majors too. But there hasn't been much power, home run power, at all. And obviously that's kind of a prerequisite in today's game to be a fantasy asset. But I think back to Francisco Lindor. I think back to Ozzie Albies. I think back to even Gleyber Torres, who had the same question about, okay, but where's the power? You know, Luis Arias has always had one of the highest exit velocities among minor league hitters. If he can figure out how to elevate the ball a little more, it could happen. He could be a 20-homer guy. I think it's feasible.
Did you rank him?
Rank him?
Yeah, did you rank him? Like, is he in your rankings right now? Did you have a chance to do that?
You know, I did update my rankings yesterday. I forgot to put him in.
All right, well, so let's rank him. Do that. Let's figure out where you
want.
Yeah,
I think he's just shortstop eligible right now, but he's going to gain second base. And that's his long-term position because they have Fernando Tatis as their shortstop of the future. So he's probably going to be primarily a second baseman.
All right, but would you rather
rank him
have
as shortstop?
Would you rather have Jonathan Scope or Arias?
I would rather have.
I mean, Scope doesn't play that much.
Yeah, I think Arias because of that.
How about Asdrubal Cabrera or Arias?
I mean, Asdrubal Cabrera's been doing nothing. I gotta go. I think I'd roll the dice on Arias there too.
Chris Taylor or Arias?
Arias, because Taylor has playing time issues now.
Jose Peraza.
You know, Peraza's been surprisingly productive. I'll go with Peraza.
All right. We got a nice little range there. All right, we got bullpen news. Greg Holland got a save for Washington. Justin Miller, they were trying to get him to save, but he gave up two hits and a run in a third of an inning. So what the heck? Also, Pat Neshek blew a save. It looked like he was getting that opportunity. In either bullpen, do you guys see someone worth owning in Washington or Philadelphia? I do.
Greg Holland got the save for the Nationals yesterday. Obviously, he was supposed to be a closer coming into the year. And he's been really good since joining the Nationals. Good strikeout rate. I think only a couple walks, which was his issue with the Cardinals. I don't think it's crazy to think all the problems they've had, he could take over that role. I could think of probably about five other relievers who are less than 50% owned that I'd rather have.
Well, I also wanted to bring up Hector Neris, because Neris, since being recalled, he has gone 7 1/3, given up 3 hits, no runs, with 1 walk and 16 strikeouts. So I think it's interesting that Neshek and Justin Miller were both used for save chances yesterday. They both blew their opportunities. And maybe they get the next one, but it's a mess. But Neris is maybe someone worth speculating on, because he's kind of righted the ship. And Holland, too, you're absolutely right. He's been very good with the Nationals. Will Smith and Dellin Betances both entered the 9th inning in tie games at home and both got the win, and both were used as closers. I don't know if that means, in Betances' case, that he is the closer, but he was used in that scenario. Let's go to the next segment. Are you buying the breakout? Are you buying the breakout? Aaron Hicks, Matt Chapman, and Miguel Andujar. Chris, are you buying what you've seen from Hicks, Chapman, and Andujar?
For Chapman, yes. I really, really like what he's done. I think he's kind of made a Josh Donaldson in Oakland leap. Not a Josh Donaldson in Toronto leap, but he's very good. Kind of feel the same way about Aaron Hicks. I think he's established himself over the last 2 years as just a really solid player who doesn't have any glaring weaknesses that make me think he can't continue to be productive. Someone who will have probably more value in Roto than head-to-head, but actually walks a ton and doesn't strike out as much as you think.
Yeah, I might have said the opposite, frankly.
Well, I like him in Roto just
because plate discipline.
He's going to steal 15 bases. He's going to hit, you know, if he plays a full season, he's going to hit 30 homers. I think he's good. I think he might be a breakout candidate next year. I think he's probably not going to get the credit he deserves for how good he's been this season.
In terms of head-to-head points per game, I want to say he's a top 10 outfielder this year. It's been a while since I've checked, but I think that's true.
Yeah, Aaron Hicks is overall number 21 in points, number 24 in Roto. He's only played 111 games. He's already set a career high with 22 home runs. He actually has, I think, his home road splits are almost identical this year. Last year he hit 12 of his 15 home runs at home. I figured he would be that kind of player, but he's, I guess, becoming somewhat of a well-rounded player. Andujar is so interesting. Since the All-Star break, Andujar is batting .347 with 10 home runs. He's really been one of the better players in baseball. His first 18 weeks of the season, he had 3 weeks out of 18 with more than 17 fantasy points. He does double a lot. He's got 37 doubles. I put 12 triples. I think that's 2 triples. in 121 games. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm buying Andujar. He's on an amazing stretch right now.
The BABIP is fine. He doesn't strike out much. My concern for him would be, is he really this good of a home run hitter? Because the fly ball rate's not so great. But at the same time, home run to fly ball rate is 17.6, which isn't like, it seems like something that could be sustainable. So, or he could be next year's Jonathan Scope. Like, I think that's, it could be legit, or he could be that.
He's going to sophomore slump for sure.
Careful.
What?
Yankees fans are nuts right now. If you say anything remotely not positive, if you say anyone even belongs in the discussion for Rookie of the Year besides Miguel Andujar, it's just like 47 bros from the Bronx who are just like, "Hey, I'm walking here," and it's ridiculous. So
they must not watch any of his fielding because he's just awful.
What if you said Gleyber Torres instead?
No,
Torres is making a nice little comeback there, but it's gonna be one of those two.
It's gonna be Shohei Ohtani.
It's not gonna be Shohei Ohtani.
Probably is.
You know what? The most important thing is that next week I've got coming my way. Well, let me give you the choices. I want everybody to know the menu I'm looking at. I get to pick 3 of these. I won't read the entire description. This is my Blue Apron menu for next week, and I get to pick 3 of them. I'll even let Chris Towers pick. Spicy glazed chicken and honey butter corn. Pasta and creamy tomato sauce with summer vegetables. Pork fried cauliflower rice. Black bean and zucchini enchiladas. Mediterranean salmon. Mexican beef bowls. Roasted cauliflower. Crispy chicken tenders and mashed potatoes.
I mean, I love me some chicky tendies. But I'm going to go with the Mexican beef bowl.
The Mexican beef bowl? All right. We get 3 of them, you know. So I will substitute the pork fried cauliflower
chicky
rice.
Chicky tendies. That's right up there with Rotate.
Rotate.
Adam's Rotate. In terms of slangifying
And
words.
There is. I mean, Blue Apron gives you a nice Rotate of fish, beef, pork, chicken, pasta. Their pizzas are unbelievable. Have you, like, when do you go to a restaurant and order black bean and zucchini enchiladas with cheddar cheese? You know, it's a great vegetarian option. So many great recipes on Blue Apron, and you need to get signed up right now. I absolutely love it. Go to blueapron.com/fantasybaseball. blueapron.com/fantasybaseball. Another added benefit is I really learned how to cook, and I really enjoy cooking now. I sent 3 free meals to Chris Towers, and he enjoyed the hell out of them. So I think you're all going to love Blue Apron. blueapron.com/fantasybaseball. It's affordable. It's less than $10 per person per meal. It gets delivered right to your door. It's delicious. It's variety. And there's nothing quite like it. blueapron.com/fantasybaseball. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. I don't think I mentioned you get your first 3 meals free at that URL. blueapron.com/fantasybaseball. There we go. Thank you for picking my meals, Chris Towers. Let's have a Max Scherzer segment. Are you guys seeing anything here in Scherzer that concerns you a bit? In his last 12 starts, he has a 13% swinging strike rate. It was 18% his first 16 starts. ERA is still great. Strikeout rate is good, but it's not Scherzer-ish. Anything here?
Scherzerian.
Yeah, it's not. This is a Scherzerian segment. Or a Scherzerian section. Damn it! It was perfect. Scherzerian section of the podcast. Are you seeing anything in Scherzer that concerns you at all?
Adam.
Yes.
No.
Okay, good. Moving on. Moving on. None up. Three down. Any of these guys over-owned? Ender Inciarte at 86%. He actually is batting 307 since the All-Star break, but his point production just isn't there. I'm wondering if it's playing time.
He hasn't. They've faced a lot of righties, so they haven't had it. We really haven't had a chance to test how much they're going to sit him for Adam Duvall, who's just done nothing since joining the Braves. But the fact is, he has one stolen base and three chances since the All-Star break. Yeah, the correction was coming for the batting average, but without the steals, it's pretty fringy.
Carlos Gonzalez had 80% owned.
Yeah, I mean, how many leagues are daily? And then how many are five outfielder? And then you start adding it up, and it's probably a little too high, but there's probably, you know, it's August 29th, let's be honest. There are probably some teams who are not paying attention. There are probably some seasons that are done. You know, that could explain some of these overowned players.
Gonzalez has about 1,000 OPS at home, so keep that in mind. And finally, Taylor Ward. Taylor Ward is 51% owned. Batting 182 so far with 15 strikeouts in 13 games. Is he over-owned, Taylor Ward?
No. He might be under-owned. Catcher's just that bad.
Yeah.
You gotta try your hand at the guy who's playing every day and had awesome numbers in the minors.
Yeah, and the strikeout rate is weird because he's only swinging and missing 7.3% of the time, but he's striking out 31% of the time. So I think he probably just needs to be a little more aggressive. That was a weird way to say aggressive.
Aggressive. four-man rotation. Now, why are these guys in the rotation instead of fringy starting pitchers? Because they are owned in more than 80% of leagues. Lance Lynn, Clay Buchholz, Julio Teheran, and Walker Buehler. How many of them deserve to be owned in almost every league? Lance Lynn, Clay Buchholz, Julio Teheran, Walker Buehler.
Bueller for now. I mean, I have my concerns about how long that's going to last.
Bueller, that was great.
I didn't even mean to do that. I just naturally sound like Ben Stein. Clay Buchholz, I would add to that group. I'm not sure Teheran doesn't, but man, he's scary. I think he has the lowest BABIP of any starting pitcher too, just to pile on the concerns.
Teheran?
Yeah. So Bueller and Buchholz definitely, Teheran and Lynn there, they probably deserve to be in the fringy starting pitchers in terms of ownership.
Yeah, Lynn has had some really good matchups and hasn't taken advantage of them. I mean, he faced Toronto and he faced Miami and had one bad inning in each of those starts. Detroit this weekend, so I'd still like to start Lance Lynn at home against Detroit. We'll see after that. But look, I wanted to start him yesterday against the White Sox, and it wasn't that good. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't that good.
No, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't good.
Fringy starting pitcher.
One out shy of a quality start. Feel much better if you got that out.
Yeah, but a lot of base runners. Eight and five and two-thirds. All right, fringy starting pitchers. Who do you want? Anthony DeSclafani, Kyle Gibson, Matt Nullenboyd, Jacob Junis, and Felix Hernandez. DeSclafani, Gibson, Boyd, Junis, Felix Hernandez. Scott.
Gibson's still my favorite of this group. I would own him over Teheran or Lynn or maybe even Buchholz.
He's been awful, though.
I know he has, but it's still a good swinging strike rate. And I mean, awful's overstating it. The last couple of starts have been bad.
Last five starts, 528 ERA. And only 21 strikeouts.
Just a couple starts.
But 21 strikeouts in 29 innings.
Yeah. All right, you're talking me down a little. I'll take Buchholz over him, okay?
All right, let me
talk me into that.
Last thing about Gibson. He's at Texas this weekend. It's a tough, tough matchup. But if you stick with him, he's got the Royals at home next week, so maybe you'd be okay starting him there.
Yeah.
All right, Gibson, DeSclafani, Boyd, Junis, Felix.
Junis might deserve to be back on a radar. Just one home run in his last five starts, I think, and it was... That was after that awful stretch in the middle of the season where he was giving up three home runs every start, it seemed like.
Three homers and eight starts since the All-Star break. He's actually been pretty awesome since the All-Star break. 47 strikeouts to 12 walks and 45 and a third. That's with a 346 BABIP, and he still has a 318 ERA. getting a few more ground balls. He's in the like 45% range in that span, which is better. That's going to help him keep the ball in the yard, and his home run to fly ball rate has normalized over his last eight starts since the All-Star break. 47% ground ball rate and 8.8 home run to fly ball rate. So, you know, still an above average strikeout pitcher. He's doing a lot well right now. Mm-hmm.
I think what's obvious with a guy like Ender Inciarte, who'd always been like a 22-ish steal guy, and a guy like Jake Junis, is that when you see a player overperform in a particular stat, like steals or home runs allowed, they are then due to underperform to get them back to a more normal pace.
Exactly.
Okay, there we go.
I was just going to leave if that was going to fire, if you were going to start that up again.
We've got emails and tweets, and we got today's matchups, and Scott's going to get out of here. Scott, though, Jacob Nix and Philip Irvin, in deeper leagues, do you like either one?
I like Irvin more than Nix. Nix throws a lot of strikes, but there is nothing deceiving about it. Complete game with no strikeouts. Complete game with
no.
One
it wasn't
sweet
a complete
strike.
Game. It was 8 1/3, I think.
Almost a complete.
Give
game.
Him a break.
I expect the people who are angry that I said Carlos Rodon is not good to also throw on the capes for Jacob Nix, because all that matters is results. Nerds.
Nerds, love it.
Nerds,
bring it in.
All right,
Scott,
later.
Get out of here, dude.
Bye, Scott.
Well, it's about time. Now let's read some emails. Emails, ladies and gentlemen. This is from Kevin. Elvis Andrews has a 435 OPS in the last 2 weeks, 643 over the last 30 days, sub-150 batting average last 2 weeks, and he hasn't been a source of speed at all. Is Elvis Andrews droppable?
It's been a frustrating. I wonder if he's just not 100% healthy. He missed so much time because a lot of the peripherals look like they did last year, but the results just haven't been there. And if he's not running, that's a big part of his value. Like, a big part of why I liked him was he seemed to take a step forward. He was going to probably hit 15 homers and steal 25 bases. He has 4 steals, and there's no sign of him turning it on. So I'm fine with dropping him, actually.
I have the hiccups, everybody. I'm not sure if you're hearing that. I apologize.
Boo!
All right, we're good. This is from FUD. Since you are all so down on Carlos Rodon, can you give me some names of fringy starting pitchers that we should be starting instead of Rodon?
I'm going to say something that might sound crazy. You ready?
Yeah.
I think I might prefer Lucas Giolito to Carlos Rodon.
Yeah, I can't really.
He's doing some stuff.
He is, but he's also had like 3 awful starts amidst his good starts.
Yeah, yeah. But over his last 6, yeah, his ERA is still high. But he's getting a decent number of strikeouts, I think like 25%. He's cut down drastically on the walks, down to 7.3%. Throwing his 2-seam fastball more, throwing his changeup more, throwing harder, changed his arm slot. I just think there are more sustainable signs with Lucas Giolito at this point than Carlos Rodon. I don't know if I'd be more willing to start him, but that is my bold take. Lucas Giolito will be better than Carlos Rodon for the rest of the season. Mm.
Mm. Okay, fine. a few more. I don't want to start Lucas Giolito, so I guess that means I don't want to start Carlos Rodon if I'm listening to Chris. But
look, I don't know if
what am I saying right now?
I don't know if I have the moral turpitude. Is that the right word to not start Carlos Rodon with the way the results have been?
Turpitude.
So I'm a coward. Is
okay.
What I'm saying.
Just use the word coward. 10-team points league. This is from Frank. Zach Godley and Tyler Glasnow are on the waiver wire. Both are 2 start pitchers next week. Are either worth picking up? And who has the most upside rest of season between Godley and Glasnow?
Both are worth picking up. I think I'd rather have Glasnow, but it might depend on the matchups. I think Glasnow is just very good now.
Yeah, I think Scott, you know, would be a little concerned about Glasnow because he's not throwing quite as many strikes. Let me look at the matchups for next week. Godley has the Padres and the Braves at home, and Glasnow has the Blue Jays on the road and the Orioles at home. So both have good matchups.
Yeah, I would like to start Glass. And I'm pretty much at the point where I'm starting him. You know, even with a few more walks, like he hasn't had a bad start in terms of walks yet.
This is from Rob in East Brunswick, New Jersey. Dear Sam, Diane, and Coach, or Woody. Chris is too young.
That's oh, come on. I watched Cheers.
I'm in second place in my head-to-head categories league, daily categories. The playoffs start next week. I'll have a bye. Jake Bowers has been horrendous. He's in my utility spot. Should I see if Bowers breaks out of the slump during the bye week? Should I move on? And if I should move on, should I drop Bowers for any of these guys? Melky, Renfro, Nick Williams, Aledmys Diaz, David Dahl, Trey Mancini. Melky, Renfro, Nick Williams, Aledmys Diaz, Dahl, and Mancini.
I am not moved to drop Jake Bowers for any of those guys. I would rather let him see what happens in the next week and then go from there.
Yeah, if there were one, it would be Dahl.
Yeah, I'm just not sure he's going to play as much.
Yeah, he sat yesterday, and that was with a DH. So, this is from Joshua, 5x5 Roto League. Six teams make the playoffs. I think it's red-headed categories. Top two get a bye. I'm in fourth place. I've had trouble all year with saves. I've recently lost Will Smith. Will Smith is still there. You still have him. Should I punt saves and drop Jeffress and Yates and hope for saves? Or go all... I mean, this is just an email that needed to be proofread.
Or go all in on starting...
Should he punt saves? It seems like he has Will Smith, Jeffress, and Yates. I don't know that you need to punt saves.
I don't know if you need to punt saves, but man, Kirby Yates has been hurting you a lot.
Got to save yesterday.
And that's the concern for me, is he doesn't have a big track record. He might just not be that good, and he might have just had a good 3 months.
And this is from John in Peoria, Illinois. He was talking about our plate discipline discussion from yesterday. Another guy to watch in 2019 is Nick Madrigal of the White Sox. He was the best hitter in college baseball and the number 4 overall pick. Still has to develop some power. His OPS is really low, but he has 4 strikeouts and 128 minor league at-bats. I see the White Sox having Madrigal up in 2019 opposite Yoan Moncada. He does. He has 7 walks to 4 strikeouts. Incredible. And no home runs.
Yeah, that, you know, Alex Bregman, I think, had a similar stretch where he wasn't hitting for a ton of power early in his minor league career. Madrigal was a contender for the number 1 overall pick in, I believe, this most recent draft. So there's certainly tons of talent there. I'd be surprised if he's up with the team before, like, June next year, because he's only in high A, but wouldn't surprise me if he starts in double A, and once you're in double A, you're a phone call away.
Oh, is that like a what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas thing?
Exactly.
Once you're in double A, you're a phone call away. Okay, Chris, Alec Mills threw 5 2/3 one run ball with 8 Ks against the Reds last time out. Today he faces the Mets and Jason Vargas. Are you starting either guy, Mets and Cubs?
I don't think I am, no.
Trevor Cahill at Dallas Keuchel.
I'll start both.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because Cahill has a 6.92 ERA on the road.
That's fine. There's no reason to believe that he can't get strikeouts and ground balls outside of the O.co Coliseum.
Michael Fulmer's at Daniel Duffy.
I'll start Fulmer.
Erasmo Ramirez at Joey Lucchesi.
I don't think I'm starting either of those guys.
Trevor Richards at David Price.
I'm starting David Price.
Carlo Gio Gonzalez at Jake Arrieta.
I'll start Arrieta.
Ronaldo Lopez at CC Sabathia.
I'll start Sabathia.
Ryan, we're up all night to Barucci at Alex Cobb.
I don't love the idea of starting Barucci, but I don't hate it.
Freddy Peralta at Matt Harvey.
Peralta.
Adam Plutko and Cole Stewart.
Pass.
Bullpen day for the Rays and Sean Newcomb for the Braves.
Newcomb.
Yeah, you going to start him?
Yeah. Yeah, I know the Rays have been hot. I know Newcomb's been up and down. But you got to dance with who you came to the dance with, Adam.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. It's a good point. Alex Wood at Mike Minor. This is a really tough one. I own both of these pitchers in my head-to-head categories league, and I am torn.
I don't think I would start Minor. I'm okay with starting Wood, but the Rangers are not a very good matchup, even against lefties, despite how many lefties they have.
Yeah, like Minor has been very consistent lately. He has given up two or fewer earned runs in five of his last seven starts. And let me see what those matchups are. I really want to figure
out.
But
one of those other starts was five runs and 2 2/3, and the other one was 4 and 5 2/3. So he's basically had like a 4.3 ERA in that span or something. Yeah, about four.
Yeah. Now, if you go back four more starts, I would guess he's got an ERA around 3 in his last like 10 or 11 starts. All right. I'm that's going to be a game time decision for me. I just don't know.
That's also tough because he might only throw 75 pitches.
Mike Minor?
Yeah.
Trevor Williams at Miles Michaelis.
Michaelis.
And Zach Godley at Derek Rodriguez.
I would start both.
All right. All right. So no love for Trevor Williams, who has been super hot.
I just... Maybe there's something I've missed. But I just don't see any reason to believe that he's taken a big step forward. I think he's pretty much a league average innings eater kind of pitcher, and nothing that I've seen has changed that.
Everybody have a wonderful Wednesday. We're back on Thursday on Fantasy Baseball Today. See you later.